This episode of Empowering God's Beloveds is brought to you by...
At New Pod City, we are your neighbors. You know us, and we know you. New Pod City is where you go for all things podcast related.
We're living in a golden age right now. I mean, anybody can just open up a laptop, jack in a mic, just start talking, and before they even realize what's happening, they have a worldwide listening audience.
We advise you on the type of equipment to use, offer training, distribution, monetization, and guidance to ensure you sound amazing.
Don't think you have to sound like anybody else. Don't let people try and shave off everything original about you. Hey, I talk fast, I have a New York accent, but you know what? That'll appeal to somebody.
With three levels to choose from, we got your budget covered. Mayor Frank Sasso and his team have award-winning podcast production skills, which make the New Pod City family a truly unique team, dedicated to art and craft of producing and distributing high-quality audio productions, voiceovers, celebrity impressions, and most of all, podcasts.
You no longer have to go searching for content to listen to. You can sit down and create your own content, your own show. You can create your own show. One of the things my team and I do is sit around and think about the kind of shows we would listen to, and then we just create them.
Visit us today at newpodcity.com or call 609-222-2691 for more information.
Now is the time to stake your claim with a podcast.
New Pod City. There's a new breed of podcaster.
Welcome to NMA, Empowering God's Beloveds with Lavinia Johnson. And sorry guys, no men allowed. Here's your host, Lavinia Johnson.
Hello and thank you guys so much for tuning in. I am so excited to be here with you guys. As well as I thank God foremost for allowing me to be able to use my voice as a tool to bring glory to His name. And if you guys haven't gotten a chance to check out our last podcast, I urge you to go do so. It's a previous podcast. It was a little fun interview that Christina and I did. And thank you guys so much for all the work that you put into this. Now, as promised in the last podcast, I was going to go ahead and introduce myself and tell everybody a little bit about me and my life. And if you guys are ready, go ahead and grab some tea and a blanket. And oh, also invite a friend, because this is a story that everybody would like to hear. And I just hope and pray that this story really blesses your heart and encourages every woman or young guy out there who's listening. That is my main goal for really coming out and telling my story. Now, here goes. I was born and raised in Nairobi, Kenya to my parents, Elizabeth and Edwin, along with my two sisters and brother. Around the time that I was five, my mother moved to the United States and my siblings and I stayed back home with our grandparents. Now, I definitely thank God for that time because that is when I truly learned about God. My grandma was a woman after God's own heart. She had us in church. She taught us how to pray and read the Bible. She taught us to tithe. I mean, my grandma lived such an inspiring life that I, at a young age, really wanted to be like her. So at the age of 7, I gave my life to Christ and I was sitting in a room praying and one of the family members found me praying and she helped me give my life to Jesus. It was also around that time when my father passed away. Now, I don't really remember much about him because he was never really in our lives. One thing that I can say is I do remember him being in politics and he was always had different functions going on and he actually invited my sisters and I to come out to one of his events. I remember in that time, he had me sent back home because I didn't look like him and he didn't believe that I was his child because I was dark-skinned. My cousin and I later on attended boarding school where it was a huge shock for us. I mean, we were used to having things done for us and being taken care of, and we now had to take care of ourselves. And in that time, I remember being really, really sick and I had to use the bathroom. And now back home in Kenya at that school, they had outhouses. I guess you guys would call them porta potties in America. And I was so sick, guys, that as I went to use the bathroom, I had a dizzy spell and I slipped and almost fell in. I mean, my feet were like in the porta potty. And if it wasn't for my cousin actually being right outside the door, I would have probably fell in because I did not have strength to hold myself up. And she lifted me up, she carried me out and helped me clean off my legs from the feces that were on my legs. I had scrapes on my legs and I was bleeding. And she really helped me wash up and clean up. And also at that school, it was a female boarding school, so they shaved all our heads for equality. Now, my siblings and I moved to the United States to be with my mother. And I can tell you, America was a huge shock for us. I mean, it's a totally different culture, like totally different. I remember attending middle school here in the United States and just didn't talk for like a whole year. And because I came while my head was still shaved, people started to make fun of me because of it. And I remember people asking if I had cancer. And the sad part is I didn't understand it. I was asked questions like, did you grow up in the jungle? Did you guys walk around naked and live with wild animals? I mean, I completely did not understand why I was being made fun of. Now, the teasing and the bullying went on for 4 years of my life, so pretty much in middle school, and it did a big number on my self-esteem. It was so bad that around the time that I was 13, I wanted to commit suicide. It was all I thought about, and I kept hearing this voice telling me, if you end your life, you won't be made fun of anymore. All this will stop. And I thought of different ways that I could end my life, but I never truly had the courage to carry out with it. I just didn't understand why God would put me on this earth so that I could be a laughingstock. So I began to rebel. I started hanging out with the wrong group of friends. I started to get in trouble in school, which also affected my relationship with my mother at home. So I started to become depressed. And most of the time I stayed in my dark room sleeping, and my relationship with my mother got worse and worse. I was considered to be the black sheep of the family. I was suspended from school because I would always get in trouble or get in fights or in arguments. And around that time, also, my mom's male friend had come to visit when she wasn't home. And he had called me. I was in the room with my sister, and he had called me to help him turn on the computer, which was in my mother's room. As I went to go help him turn on the computer, he touched me in a very inappropriate way and asked me if I've ever been with a man before. And I remember he kept telling me how beautiful I was and started to lay on top of me. I remember pushing him off me, and I ran to my room and locked the door because I was so confused. I remember telling my mom later on about what had happened, and she actually wound up blaming me for that incident, and she was telling me that it was my fault that this incident happened. As a young girl, I was really confused how that would be my fault. I didn't bring that upon myself. Later on in high school, I participated in a lot of sports. I did swimming. I tried everything, all because I knew as long as I would be in school, I wouldn't have to go home, or I would go home, but at a later time. And in high school, that's also the time when I began to discover myself. I remember guys always telling me how beautiful I was. That is something that I was not used to at all. And I wanted that. And I needed that. I wanted to feel wanted. I wanted to feel beautiful to a man. But it didn't take me long to realize that most of the guys that were telling me these things just wanted to get me in bed. That continued to affect my self-esteem even more. I mean, all the times that I was made fun of at school and just everything that was going on really did a big number on my self-esteem. Around that time in high school, that's also when my sister had a mental breakdown, and that was like an awakening in our family. Because at that time, you know, my sister was always just nice and calm, and she was such a loving person. She loved to cook. And at that time, she had a mental breakdown, and it was like a shock to my family. We looked at each other. We did not know what to do or how to go about it. Soon after, I graduated high school, and I met my ex-husband. I was so broken, and I didn't understand love, but I looked at him and I declared that he was going to be my husband. I didn't really know him, let alone myself, but at 19, I found myself married and quickly discovered that marriage is a whole nother ballgame. I didn't want to be a wife. I was not ready. I did not want to submit to him. I realized that trying to run away from my problems at home just now led me into new problems. And this time, this problem had a covenant. I winded up stepping out of my marriage and bearing a child with another man at 21. I felt so guilty and ashamed. I didn't want to have a child at this age. There was so much that I wanted to do with my life. Actually, around that time, that's when I began to try to like kind of go out and just hang out with girls. That's what I had started to do at that time. And I remember being younger. And also, I mean, we stayed in church even after we had moved to the United States. We still stayed in church. And I remember they would have altar calls and they would say, oh, you know, come give your life to Jesus and he'll change your life. I remember sitting down or standing and I would tell Jesus, no, no, I'm not going to give my life to you yet. Just wait until I'm 21. When I'm 21, that's when I'll give my life to you. And it's funny because at 21, that's when I was pregnant and I wanted so badly to give my life a good life that I decided that I would change my life. At 21, pregnant, that's when I hit rock bottom. I didn't know what to do. I was pregnant, broken, alone, with no husband. It was at that time when I was attending church and my pastor's mom at the time actually was preaching that day on Psalms 51, the prayer of repentance. And she told the story of how David got another man's wife pregnant. And I saw myself in that story. I remember going home and I read Psalms 51 over and over and over again. Because I had wanted to feel whole. I wanted to believe that my situation, my brokenness, my sin could be turned around for something good like Jesus did for David. So I gave my life to Jesus again that day and continued with life, motivated that I was going to give my son the best life that I could have. Even though I gave my life to Jesus again, I still struggle with sin. I mean, some of the old sin that I dealt with. I tried to make things work with my son's dad because I needed to fill that void in my heart of being alone. But it was a very dysfunctional relationship that led me to emotional damage. My son was born in January 2011, and he was the best thing that could come out of me. I couldn't believe that such a creation could be birthed from such brokenness and such imperfection. And I worked so hard to make sure that he had everything that he needed. I only made $10 an hour, I remember, at the time, so I could only do so much. I remember there was times that I didn't even have money to buy him diapers. And one particular time, I had to use one of my pads, my sanitary towels. I put it in an underwear and put it on him because I just had no money for diapers at the time. I remember having to pay for gas to go to work with like coin change. Like imagine going to the gas station with a bunch of coins, probably not even like $5 worth, just in coins, and giving it to the gas attendant. He had to count it. There was a long line behind me, and just going from one daycare to another daycare because I just couldn't afford it. And this cycle went on for like at least a year or two, where I would get paid, all my money would go towards daycare or to the car, and it was just a complete cycle. In 2013, I decided to change my life. I started to pray, I started to fast and read the word. I began to seek change in my life. I was able to get a better job at the time, which helped me to move out to get a nicer car. And I was thinking, finally, life was looking up. And that's the time also that I started talking to my fiance. In 2014, Kennedy and I started dating. At that time, I can't say that I truly had standards. I mean, I had started walking in Christ, like I was fully committed to walking life in Christ. But I didn't have standards. I didn't know what that meant. I didn't know what that was like. That's not something that I was used to. But I was grateful to have him in my life. And soon after that, you know, everything being just so peachy and rosy, everything began to fall apart in 2015. I winded up giving up my job in 2015 for a better job, but because I didn't have reliable childcare, I lost that job soon later. After that, one thing led to another. I got evicted out of my apartment and had to move back with my mother. I can't say that I blamed God at that time, but I definitely questioned him in that season, because I was wondering why, if I'm doing the right things, why are bad things happening to me? I worked on getting myself back to school, so I started nursing school around that time. Throughout the whole program, it was a bunch of highs and lows. I mean, I remember having, you know, a little bit of tension in between Kennedy and I's family, just because he actually moved in with me to help me with my son while I went to school. And it actually was not viewed as a good decision because we were not married yet. And almost through my nursing school, I found myself pregnant with my second born son now. And I had to stop going through school. And during school, I wasn't working, so I wind up losing my car as well. And my fiance paid for me to get another car so that I'll continue to go to school, because I didn't see how I would be able to finish school while I had no car. I had no job at the time. And it was just really tough. Moving back in with my mother, I thank God for her, was also tough because I was used to being on my own and kind of doing things my own way. But when I found myself pregnant, I had to stop going to school so I can take care of myself and just to be able to get back into the working and get my life back together for my second son. I actually wind up landing a really good job, which helped me to get everything that I needed for my son now. And also just surrounding myself with positive people that helped me to be able to be strong in that situation. Now, with my second pregnancy, I was also kind of ashamed. And I didn't really tell anybody that I was pregnant. I mean, it was like you saw me 1 month with a flat tummy. And like 2 months later, out of nowhere, I had a belly. And as I'm here today, Kennedy proposed to me in 2016, and I said yes. Ministry has always been in my heart, and with the understanding of God's laws and ordinances, there's certain things that he looks for, you know, when you're going to do a ministry. And it leads me here. I'm here because, as you have heard in my stories, there was times when I just could have gave up. There was times that I could have gave up, and there was times when I almost gave up. But I want to encourage anybody who's listening to my story that me almost being molested was not the end of my story. Me almost committing suicide because of everything that I was going through was not the end of my story. I want to encourage you, because just because I had a divorce, that is not the end of my story. That is not the end of my story. And I thank God because he's the one that actually writes our stories. And failure is not the end of your story. Brokenness is not the end of your story. I have just now stepped into a new Lavinia. I've now stepped into a new me. This is a whole entire Lavinia that I never got to experience before. The Lavinia now is bold. The Lavinia now is wiser. The Lavinia now is so much better than the Lavinia then. I mean, there's still areas in my life that God is still working in me, like me and my mother's relationship, or how to be a better mother and just how to take a break and relax. Those are all the type of things that I struggle with. But I thank God that all those things that happened to me was not the end of my story. God is the author of our story, and he's the finisher of our story. So I want to encourage you guys to keep your heads up. Keep your heads up and look at God. Keep your eyes on God. That's why his word says that keep your eyes focused on the things above. Keep your eyes focused on him. No matter what situation that you're going through, you could be the little girl like me who's being bullied in school. Keep your eyes on God. You could have been that girl like me that almost died. Keep your eyes on God. You could be a girl like me that was lost and broken because of wanting to feel needed and wanting approval. Still keep your eyes on God, because if it wasn't for God, I wouldn't be where I am now. Now, this is not to say that I'm going to sit here and have pity on myself. Oh, I wish I didn't go through some of the stuff that I went through. I understand that some of the things that I went through was not the devil. Those were my decisions. I decided to do certain things, which led me to where I am. But I still thank God for the tests and trials that I went through. I thank God for the hills and the valleys that I had to go through, because I came out victorious. And that is pretty much my mission. I want to tell you guys that it doesn't matter what you go through, you can come out victorious through God. God is able to do all things. Through God, we are all victorious. So I hope that you guys stay blessed. Be blessed. Have an amazing week. Know that God is able. Know that God sees every single thing that you go through. It doesn't matter what I felt. There were so many times that I felt like God wasn't there. But God is there. He's there no matter what. He said it in His word. I will never leave you nor forsake you. God's name means God with us. So He is here. So be encouraged, guys. I look forward to doing this podcast every single week. I will be bringing new content. I would really love to do like a study for the women of the Bible. I mean, these are women that we can all relate to and we can draw strength from and we can draw inspiration from. So I want to start and do women of the Bible to encourage you guys. Women of the Bible, they went through their own situations and I want to go ahead and do that. So thank you guys so much for tuning in. Please, if you have any comments, any advice or anything, send them my way. I always want to hear feedback as to how I did, or if there's anything that you guys have any questions, send them over my way. And until next time, be blessed and be encouraged and know that He is able. Thanks. Have a good one.
Thank you for listening to the Anime Podcast. Visit us online today for more podcast information, social media, directories, and more valuable resources at laviniajohnson.com. This episode of Empowering God's Beloveds was brought to you by...
At New Pod City, we are your neighbors. You know us, and we know you. New Pod City is where you go for all things podcast related.
We're living in a golden age right now. I mean, anybody can just open up a laptop, jack in a mic, just start talking, and before they even realize what's happening, they have a worldwide listening audience.
We advise you on the type of equipment to use, offer training, distribution, monetization, and guidance to ensure you sound amazing.
Don't think you have to sound like anybody else. Don't let people try and shave off everything original about you. Hey, I talk fast, I have a New York accent, but you know what? That'll appeal to somebody.
With three levels to choose from, we got your budget covered. Mayor Frank Sasso and his team have award-winning podcast production skills, which make the New Pod City family a truly unique team, dedicated to art and craft of producing and distributing high-quality audio productions, voiceovers, celebrity impressions, and most of all, podcasts.
You no longer have to go searching for content to listen to. You can sit down and create your own content, your own show. You can create your own show. One of the things my team and I do is sit around and think about the kind of shows we would listen to, and then we just create them.
Visit us today at newpodcity.com or call 609-222-2691 for more information.
Now is the time to stake your claim with a podcast.
New Pod City. There's a new breed of podcast stuff.